Good morning, listeners. Achieving excellence in ministry through effective Christ-centered leadership and living remains a theme that we are focusing on in this series of messages. We are continuing to examine the life of the Apostle Paul, who demonstrated this theme throughout his life and ministry. Paul, as a leader, was an extraordinary mentor. Although he was called to be an apostle by the will of God, his acceptance in the apostolic community came through sponsorship of an apostle named Barnabas. And when Saul had come to Jerusalem, he tried to join the disciples, but they were all afraid of him and did not believe that he was a disciple. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles, and he declared to them how he had seen the Lord on the road and that he had spoken to him and how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. So he was with them at Jerusalem, coming in and going out, and he spoke boldly in the name of the Lord Jesus and disputed against the Hellenists, but they attempted to kill him. When the brethren found out, they brought him down to Caesarea and sent him out to Tarsus, Acts 9:26-30. Paul's mentoring relationship with Barnabas was a significant factor in his development into an influential leader in the early Christian church. Mentoring is often conceived as a strategy to recruit and retain talent in many work and educational environments. The mentoring relationship between Barnabas and Paul worked because they each accepted their roles as mentor and mentee and adapted them as they progressed through the mentoring process. Paul displayed humility by submitting himself in this process. He did not use his considerable Jewish pedigree, mentioned in Philippians 3:5-6, as a reason not to submit to Barnabas' effort to come alongside him and show him the way in the Christian church. Barnabas played a role here consistent with his role throughout the book of Acts. He encouraged the church in Jerusalem, Acts 4:36-37, encouraged the new believers in Antioch, Acts 11:22, brought Paul alongside to work in Antioch, Acts 11:25-26. He accompanied Paul on his first missionary journey, Acts 13:2-3, and mentored Mark when Paul refused to continue working with him, Acts 11:38-39. Leaders are mentors. They prepare the next generation of leaders. Paul, having been mentored, saw the necessity to raise up leaders everywhere he shared the gospel and planted churches. One such leader that was his protege was Timothy, whom he encountered on his first missionary journey. Then he came to Derbe and Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple was there, named Timothy, the son of a certain Jewish woman who believed, but his father was Greek. He was well spoken of by the brethren who were at Lystra and Iconium. Paul wanted to have him go with him, and he took him and circumcised him because of the Jews who were in that region, for they knew that his father was Greek. Acts 16:1-3. Paul discerned that Timothy had potential and began preparing him for leadership. 2 Timothy was one of two leadership coaching letters that Paul wrote to Timothy. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, according to the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, a beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve with a pure conscience, as my forefathers did, as without ceasing I remember you in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see you, being mindful of your tears, that I may be filled with joy when I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Loy and your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded is in you also. Therefore, I remind you to stir up the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. 2 Timothy chapter 1, 1-7. Leadership, to be most effective, must be based on the gifts that we have been given. Paul recognized this and emphasized it as he mentored Timothy. Leadership should use the gifts and strengths given by God. Paul believed Timothy's leadership would grow strong when he remembered three fundamental truths. One, his spiritual heritage. When I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Loy and your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded is in you also. Verse 5. Nurturing in Christian values based on the Word of God is a solid foundation for leadership development. Paul reminded Timothy of the spiritual foundation his family had given him. 2. Spiritual gift. Therefore, I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. Verse 6. Leaders serve best from their giftings. The body of Christ, the church, is compared to the human body. Every part has a role to play. We serve best when we play the roles uniquely designed by God for us. Just as how specific parts of our bodies have different functions. Paul reminded Timothy to stir up the gifts inside him and lead from those gifts. Body parts do not compete, but are complementary. When each part plays its role well, the body is able to function well, and so it is with the church. Thirdly, his solid conviction. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Verse 7. Paul reminded Timothy that God did not give him fear, but love, power, and a sound mind to do the job. To be effective, leaders must recognize what they have been given by God. Firstly, gifts, and then the means of utilizing those gifts. Love, the motive for passionate service. Power through the presence and filling of the Holy Spirit. And a sound mind, self-control, wisdom. Those are given to enable us to exercise the gifts given to us by God. Love is a relational ingredient that enables us to attract and connect with others. Jesus says, "By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one to another." Power is a divine capability given by the indwelling Holy Spirit. A sound mind represents wisdom and self-control that will enable effective service. In other words, the courage and competence to get the job done. It is a perspective and wisdom to grasp a vision and take the right steps. Because God has so equipped leaders, he instructs us to not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord. This is what Paul emphasized to Timothy, but to share in the sufferings of the gospel according to the power of God. 2 Timothy 1 verse 8. God gave Timothy and us everything needed to accomplish the job. He empowers us, then expects us to deliver. We receive competence before we receive commands. Effective, Christ-centered leadership demands that leaders look to the future and raise up new leaders in the church. The most significant aspect of mentoring in the New Testament is the unique approach to developing leaders which Jesus modeled when he taught his 12 disciples. Jesus had no formal school, no seminaries, no outlined course of study, no periodic membership classes in which he enrolled his followers. None of these highly organized procedures considered so necessary today entered his ministry. Paul adopted Jesus' approach. He used it effectively with Timothy, and he passes it on to us as we seek to implement effective Christ-centered leadership. He said to Timothy, "And the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also." Paul, having mentored Timothy, passed the baton to him. Fellow believers, the baton has been passed. Leaders, you're called to mentor if you're going to lead effectively. Paul knew that there was no true success without succession. Leaders owe it to the Lord and to his church to prepare those who will take their places. To do this effectively, they need to be mentored themselves and to engage in mentoring. Paul had Barnabas as his mentor and Timothy as his mentee. Leaders, who are you mentoring for the kingdom? Next week, we'll continue with the theme, looking at how effective Christ-centered leadership challenge the power structures. God bless you.